Hello and welcome to the Heal Your Heart, Heal Your Life podcast, the podcast where we talk all things healing, health, relationships, life lessons, and growth. What have we learned? How have we worked through our trauma, our pain, our life lessons to grow to who we are today? And what can we share with the people who might still be going through that so that they too can jump on the growth journey as well and help to heal whatever it is they're going through. It is my intention behind this podcast that anyone who needs some hope can come and listen and grow with our guest speakers who are on every month. So thank you for listening in. It's wonderful to have you here. My name is Kiara Jade. I am a relationship coach and social worker. I've been running this podcast for about a year now, and it just felt like the world needed more voices like this so that people knew that they too can heal whatever's going on for them, no matter how hard it gets. So I send you all the love, and let's jump into this month's episode. So I'm really excited today to welcome Demi to the podcast. Demi is a weaver of the wild, a co-pioneer of Eclectica Hub, a beautiful dance school, a mentor, a facilitator who's really passionate about sharing truth into the world and returning us back to love. Welcome, Demi.
Oh, thank you, Kiara. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, no worries. Thank you for being here today. I'd love to start the conversation around where you were when you first met your relationship partner in your life, and the maybe the lessons or the journeys that took you to that relationship doorstep.
Amazing. What an amazing question. So I would say that all of my previous relationships before my current partner were pivotal steps in setting me up with the right lessons that I needed to evolve to be ready for him. And of course, it didn't necessarily feel like that at the time because some of those relationships were really hard. But now, in hindsight, I can reflect on all the lessons that they were interlaced with and the ways that they made me more clear on who I am and what I want and how to create it. And I think the only way I could create it was to reconcile with myself deeply enough to be ready for it. And the relationships I had before Josh, who is my current partner, they were all 3 years long, and there was three of them, and they were all incredibly different and incredibly healing in their own ways. There was one relationship out of the three that was quite toxic. I know that word probably gets thrown around a lot, but there was a lot of game playing and toxic behavior on both of our behalf. And I would say, yeah, I really got to meet my ugly side. I mean, my parts probably wouldn't like hearing that if I call them ugly, but I got to meet the part of me that surprises me when she shows her teeth. Yeah, all of the parts of my inner basement, if that makes sense. So after that more challenging relationship that was fueled with games and jealousy and on again, off again, push-pull dynamic, that was honestly more about power than it was about love. It was more about the upper hand and codependency than true love. I was in a really healing relationship for 3 years, and that was the partner that I was with before Josh. And that was beautiful. Like it was everything that the previous relationship wasn't. So it was an opportunity to heal, but it still came with its own set of challenges. There was a lot of insecurity on his end, and that's something that I've always struggled with in partners, is like I'm quite a free spirit, and I've always felt like this snatching and grabbing of my wings. And I've usually attracted men who love that about me, but then also want to contain it or like deeply triggered about it as well. Definitely had that with that previous partner, but more so, we just butted heads a lot, and every conflict we couldn't quite navigate it and reach full resolution. Every conflict created further tension, further separation, further divide. But I was actually with that partner when I met Josh. So I met Josh at Burning Man in 2017. The ironic part is the partner that I had at the time was meant to come with me. And the night before our flight, he ran into visa issues.
Oh.
Yeah. And, you know, we were going with four other friends, buying a bus in New York, driving the bus across to Oregon Eclipse Festival to watch the full solar eclipse, then to Burning Man. Wow. It was like a full road trip, incredible, like this amazing 70s bus, the dream. And the night before our flight, he ran into visa issues. He was still hopeful to come. So I had to get on the plane without him, which felt really, really wrong. And I nearly didn't go. I was like, I can't go without you. We've like moved out of our house together. We've been saving up for this. And he's like, no, go. Like, you have to go. You can't not go. This has been your dream, you know? So I went, and he was meant to fly over and meet me a week later. He flew to Sydney to try to figure out his visa. And then he found out that he couldn't get a visa.
Wow.
So he was going to have to meet me in Mexico after that trip. But that trip was like 2 months long. So it was like, went from, you know, okay, I'll see you in a week to like, I'll see you in 2 months. So for like a lot of that trip, I was grieving his absence and was really sad and was kind of comparing to what it could have been if he was there.
Yeah. Yeah.
But then when I got to Burning Man, I was finally in a groove and I'd like fully surrendered. And I was like, no, this is an amazing opportunity to come home to myself and explore myself again. And so I was really feeling amazing at Burning Man. But ironically, like the first time Josh saw me, I'd heard that the relationship before, this is going to get a bit confusing, but the toxic relationship, let's just put into that box.
Label it, yeah.
I'd heard that he'd slept with one of my friends and I already had intuitive feelings about it, but it was confirmed at a party. And it was funny because I was in a new relationship. I'd been in a new relationship for 2 years, but all those old wounds resurfaced, all of those wounds around feeling unworthy. And in that relationship, I compared myself a lot to other women. There was a lot of comparison and jealousy and, yeah, all of that stuff like resurfaced again. And I was kind of confronted because I'm like, I'm in this new relationship and all of these wounds have resurfaced. And I was at this party and I just wasn't feeling it. And my friends dressed me into like a fluoro hot pink G-string, like Burning Man outfit that didn't fully encapsulate my spirit and my essence. So I also wasn't feeling fully comfortable in what I was wearing. It was like a very sexy outfit. Not that there's anything wrong with that, but it's like not how I normally express myself. And I'd heard the news of that previous partner sleeping with a friend. So I was feeling quite flat, and Josh saw me and he immediately judged me or a part of him judged me. Oh, I think like he's like, oh, who's that? And then like felt into my energy and was like, oh, I think that she's a snob. Yeah, now talking to him about it, I'm like, what do you think that judgment was? Like, you know, what was the judgment there to protect you from? And he said, you looked like someone that would reject me. So I thought, oh, like she looks cool. But then I thought, oh, no, she's probably someone that would reject me. So then judging you like kept me safe.
Let's reject her before she rejects me. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, totally. Yeah. Totally. So that was like the first time I met him. But then, well, no, the first time he saw me, I didn't see him. And then 3 days later, I'd come back into my essence and was really feeling myself. I think I was ovulating and I was like really feeling Burning Man, having an amazing time meeting all these people. And he came back to my theme camp with some friends and I asked him if he wanted to strip tease. That was my job for the camp party. And there was instant chemistry, instant connection.
Yeah.
And I remember kind of thinking, oh, fuck. Because I was in a partnership. So I think I like my womb felt it. My womb was like, you're going to be with this person one day.
Yeah.
I couldn't logically understand it. But yeah, there was like this deep inner knowing, but then my logic came in to protect me, I guess. And I had a lot of shame and betrayal of like, no, you're in a monogamous partnership. You love your partner. Like, and it just, I buried it so deep and like flat out denied it. And he'd just broken up with a girlfriend of 4 years and she was there with him. And so they were navigating a breakup, but they were navigating it really amazingly. Like, I would say it was really inspiring to witness them manage this breakup because there was no games. There was like just this full undertone of respect.
Yeah.
And I really loved that. So, but he found out, well, it's actually, it's funny. I invited him back to my camp for a drink and I was like chatting to him and his friend wanted to go and he's like, no, like I want to stay. And then his friend could pick up on the energy and he just said, she's got a boyfriend. Like, let's go. And I think Josh was just like, started driving off on his bike and then stopped his bike. And he's like, how epic is her boyfriend? And he's like, really epic. And he's like, all right. And he left. So that was like how we met. You know, like they say that, I believe that if you meet someone else and you're in a monogamous relationship and there's like a really deep attraction there, that's not just, you know, a sexual attraction, like there's a deep, deep attraction. It's usually because that person is embodying qualities that's lacking in your partnership. That's something that I find is really, really common with me and with like women that I mentor, is like there's this person is embodying qualities that you feel undernourished with.
Yeah.
Josh was embodying was like deep emotional maturity and emotional awareness. And I could feel that he was like aware of his stuff. And I could feel that he had this gentleness and this softness where he was committed to understanding me. And not that I could see any proof of that on paper, but I could feel it in my body. And my partnership at the time, that partner like never understood me or never made an effort to understand me. In fact, he would say frequently, like, I just don't understand you, which I think translates to like, I'm not willing to try to understand you.
Yeah.
And I think that there was a lot of defensiveness on both of our behalves. Like, I didn't know how to take responsibility at all. It was always his fault. And I had developed enough spiritually where I would say looking back, I kind of put myself on a spiritual hierarchy and could point out all of his stuff to him and was like unwilling to look at how I contributed at all.
Yeah.
So that was like, so our relationship was like very much, there's a lot of defensiveness, but because he was so defensive, like really, really, really defensive, it taught me, I still didn't know how to take responsibility, but it taught me really gentle communication because my only way to get through to him was to be more like less reactive and to respond and be firm. So that also set me up for Josh, because Josh is someone that, he holds me so accountable. And he, every other relationship, I would say I maybe wasn't challenged in these ways. There was this sense of like, I think that I was the fixer.
Yeah.
I attracted wounded people. I was like the wounded healer archetype in all three relationships before Josh. And after my third relationship, I was like, the next partner I'm with, I don't want to heal. Like, they've got themselves. And I was sure that I wanted that. And then when I called that in with Josh, it was actually super confronting because I was like, oh, he doesn't need me. Like, what's my job here? What's my role here? It was almost boredom at the beginning. Like, there's nothing here to fix. But there was also the absence of the illusion of safety.
Yeah.
I felt like the illusion of safety with those three other partners, because I'm like, they'll never leave me. I saved them. Like, and there was that feeling like, don't ever leave me. You're my angel. Like, you help me through everything, you know? So that subconsciously puts you on this pedestal, and there's this sense of like safety. Well, the illusion of safety, because you're like, they'll never leave me.
Yeah.
So meeting Josh, I mean, he does need me in many, many ways, but he's fully got himself, and above all, he'll choose himself before any relationship that's not fulfilling him. And I can feel that, like, his previous partner's amazing. She's beautiful. And he walked away from that partnership. They both did. So I knew that he had self-worth, and I knew that he knew what he wanted as well. And one thing that really stood out was, that he valued self-responsibility, and he would always say, like, okay, how did you contribute to this? Like, you haven't acknowledged any of your part. And that was really confronting for me, because I was like, what do you mean? I'm perfect. Yeah. So I'd say that's basically the foundation of how we met. And we stayed friends for a year because I was in that partnership. But it was inevitable that partnership was already breaking down, and it began to break down over the course of that year after I met him. And there was this like undeniable pull. Mm. And actually the previous partner picked up on it and was very threatened by it.
Yeah.
And now I used to just think that it was insecurity stuff, but now I'm like, oh, he was seeing what was already there, you know?
Mm.
And honestly, like, I would deny it at the time because I'd buried it so deep in myself that I'd almost convinced myself that it was true, if that makes sense. Like I denied my feelings for him so deeply because I was like, this is wrong. This is betrayal.
Yeah.
Like my mind was convinced that it was true and that we were just friends.
Mm.
But my heart wasn't and my womb wasn't. So,
you know, when you said before that, when people feel a pull towards someone else, it's often because their needs aren't being met in their current relationship, and that person has the ability to meet those needs. Did you know that consciously when you came back? Like, is that what you, And so how did understanding that, okay, I'm being pulled toward this person because they are really emotionally mature and they've got these qualities that I'm looking for. Were you able to kind of utilize that in your other relationship, help you move forward with that person, whether that be deciding to be together or deciding to move on?
Yeah, definitely. One thing that I think that he hated fighting full stop.
Yeah.
I just said, like, this is an opportunity to go deeper and to understand each other more and to experience emotional intimacy together. And like, it's not necessarily that we're fighting, it's the way that we're fighting.
Yeah.
Couldn't fully understand that. And I think that there was also moments where I would really take responsibility for my own emotions. Like I would say, I'm feeling a lot of fear in my body right now. I'm feeling really alone right now. And he would just kind of be like, I can't deal with you, and walk away.
Mm.
So there was like, there was definitely, I was recognizing that Josh was this shiny thing.
Yeah.
That was embodying qualities that were lacking in my partnership. And so I was definitely trying to bring it out. But if I'm to be honest with you, in my body, I always knew that that relationship had an expiry date and that
he
wasn't the father of my children. And it would actually hurt so much, that knowing, because I would tell him, I would say, like, I'd cry sometimes and be like, I love you so much. I don't want this to end. Like, I love you, but I just know in my body that we have an expiry date. I can't describe it. It's this feeling of like that there will be an end, and not like we're doomsday. I couldn't even attach an emotion to it. It was like a deep it wasn't even a fear. It was a knowing.
Yeah.
That had no emotion attached to it other than just truth.
Mm.
I knew that he had come into my life as a gift from God or from spirit to help me heal from that previous relationship that was so painful and left me feeling, you know, so hurt a lot of the time and so rejected. And the partner after that wanted to see me all the time. He loved me. He was always emotionally available. And so that was really healing for me. And it was an opportunity to heal, because during that previous, like, a super wounded relationship.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like using the word toxic, because I feel like to label some of our emotions as toxic puts those emotions, or denies those emotions and denies the role they play. And these emotions are there to protect us. So that deeply like wounded relationship, during that time, I also, like, when I broke up with him, I also got fired from my job. lost my driver's license and had a falling out with my best friend and my entire friendship group from high school. Gosh.
Yeah.
I would say it was like my spiritual awakening moment, like meeting the depths of myself. But in that period, I was like really underway. Like I went through a season of like anxiety and depression.
Mm.
So meeting that next partner before Josh was deeply healing. And like, he was like a gift to be like, here's someone that that can hold you and you can heal together and you can see what a relationship could be. Yeah. But I wanted more. I wanted more. And I knew like it was this deep feeling of like, I don't want to attract a really wounded, broken person that I have to fix anymore.
Yeah.
Like I'm fine with someone who has, like we all have wounds, but I want someone to really be devoted to their path on their own terms. And for me not to feel like I'm leading the way or paving the way or having to consistently encourage them. Like they're just devoted to it themselves. And that's what I could sense with Josh from the very beginning was like, he was like investing in all these amazing experiences and trainings and men's circles and not in a way of like surface level, like look at all that I'm achieving so that I can match this spiritual masquerade character in the community.
Yeah.
It was like, he was deeply looking at his stuff and was deeply accountable of his wounds and how they contribute to dynamics. And I've always felt that with him, like I can bring anything to him and he's like, yep, that's fair. I fully see how I did that. I'm so sorry. Like fully goes all the way in.
Mm.
So refreshing. And then in return, I had to do the same for him. And that didn't feel refreshing at the beginning. It felt very like, ah,
yeah.
I have to admit that I'm wrong. Fuck.
Yeah.
And it also involved, you know, acknowledging emotions that were there, because I think in the spiritual community especially, we start to develop a mask around what we believe is conscious and what we believe is unconscious, and we deny what we're capable of.
Mm.
And I see it all the time of like, no, I don't resent them. I don't resent them. Like I love them. I have unconditional love for them. And I'm like, there's a part of you that resents them.
Yeah.
Or there's a part of you that is disgusted by them. There's a part that's jealous, envious, judgmental, shaming them. Like to actually acknowledge that we have all of those parts and more is where deep healing can take place, and to acknowledge when those parts take the wheel and speak, you know?
Yeah.
And yeah, that's what Josh is really devoted to doing. And now me too. And it's funny because now with people that I work with, I can see when they're trying so hard to hold on to this reputation that they've built around like, no, I'm not capable of doing that. I'm not capable of having any internalized misogynistic values. Like I'm conscious.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's nothing wrong with admitting that we actually all have these parts. In fact, it's deeply liberating. It's deeply healing.
Because that's the way that it's not going to pop up in another avenue if we're denying it and pretending it's not there and putting a, you know, what I should be saying on top of it. It's like, that's when it's going to pop up in other places, and that's when it's going to lash out, or you are going to be resentful and have a go at someone like, and then be like, whoa, where did that come from? Because it's still there, even though it's being denied and it's demanding to be felt, really.
Totally. And demanding to be acknowledged. And me and Josh in our partnership, like, this line of work, which is really about building a deep relationship with your emotions and knowing what they look like, what they smell like, what they sound like, where they live in the body, like developing such intimate relationships with these parts means that we know when they're present, and so we can take responsibility when they're there. So instead of like, if Josh has done a few different things and I'm feeling resentful, I used to just let resentment speak at him.
Yeah.
And it'd be like, you've done this and this and this and blah, 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 blah. And just like fully vengeance and resentment was coming out of my mouth at him. And now I can be like, wow, there's like a lot of resentment here. And she's got some really intense things to say about you. And like, no, we're not perfect. Like sometimes I'll be like, I'm aware that you're just having a conversation with my resentment right now. You know, sometimes it's hard to hold these emotions that are so desperate to speak and have their voice heard.
Yeah.
But having that awareness, I can be like, okay, I'm sorry. I acknowledge there's a lot of resentment here, and like, that's mine. And, you know, sometimes we say like, okay, we're too associated to have this conversation, and associated meaning we're too associated with an emotion to be, we're not speaking from our center. You know, when you reach those points where you're just going around in circles because two parts are like butting heads, it's like resentment and guilt or whatever it is, are just like, I hate you, but it's like, I don't want to face my guilt, so I'm going to like defend myself or whatever it is. So I think that that awareness has supported us so deeply, but also because I know how to speak to my resentment or my insecurity or my scarcity, if I can feel Josh is speaking from scarcity, like we're having issues with like income or something, it's like I know how to speak to that part of him because I know how to speak to it in myself.
Yeah.
Know that my scarcity needs like safety and like breath and like security. So when I can see he's in that emotional state, it's like, okay, he needs security. How can I embody security right now? Because that's what that part in me needs. So that's likely what that part inside him needs as well.
Yeah, it's like knowing and being able to embody it yourself, and then therefore you can give it back to the world.
Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And when you do get stuck in those cycles and loops where resentment and guilt are fighting, and you know, it's you're going around in circles, what is the process out of that? Like, how would you manage that in your relationship?
There's a few ways. One way is one of us softening.
Mm-hmm.
Always works. Yeah, usually, well, I'm pretty sure it always works. I'm trying to think of a time that it hasn't, but one of us decides to put the sword down and softens and reaches out for the hand or a hug, and we'll just all of a sudden realize that beneath all of the fire is pain and fear, like fear of loss, fear of abandonment, and we'll just hug and cry together and soften. And then, you know, then I'll be like, I'm sorry, and he'll be like, I'm sorry, and it's we very quickly soften.
Yeah.
Or sometimes we'll say like, let's take a pause and let's go have like a bit of space. And by a bit of space, it's like for an hour, I'll like go to the river and have a shakeout, or he'll go to his car or go into another room and he'll call his friends. And Josh is really amazing. He's, I was going to say lucky, but I don't think that that's the right word, because he's created this for himself. So it's not luck. He's like, he's embodying really healthy traits in the in masculinity. And so he's attracted friends with those same traits.
Yeah.
And what I love is he'll call them to hold space for him when he needs it, when he's moving through stuff with me.
Yeah.
And don't feed the cycle of like victim and perpetrator at all, no matter what. They are not focused on me and what I did to hurt him.
Yeah, yeah.
More focused on what emotions he's feeling and why they're there and when they first came up and the root of them. Because, you know, generally speaking, what I'm pressing on is like wounds from childhood or wounds from that he had with parents or with people from school or previous girlfriends. Usually that's what is beneath what he's feeling. And so I'm devoted to getting to that and being like, okay, let's give that part of you heaps of love and ask that part what it needs. And I love that because I'm never, there's never judgment. There's never, he doesn't go into the noise and then he's being like, she did this and then she did that. And then look at me, I'm a victim now and I need your help. It's like, there's none of that noise. If he went into that, they'd be like, okay, you're going into the story.
Yeah.
They're not interested in the story. They're like, how are you feeling? And I love that. I really love that. So that's sometimes what we'll do as well when we're going around in circles, is we'll take a pause. And I love nervous system regulation. And I think awareness of the nervous system is pivotal in relationships. And so he'll usually go and regulate himself with friends on the phone. I'm less likely to do that unless it's like a really challenging circumstance. Like there's been times where I've driven to Anna Maria, my best friend slash business partner's house, because she lives super close, and just being like, but majority of the time I can usually just hold myself. And I think I can usually find clarity within but Josh tends to like rely on his brothers more, but both super healthy, you know, and I'll lean on friends if I really need it. It's not like I don't like to, I love to be held by my friends, but I'm just not a phone person. I think like he loves speaking on the phone and being held, and I'm not always.
Fair enough. You've all got your own things that'll help you kind of regulate and kind of bring you back down to processing mode. I love that. I think it's so powerful that they can just sit there and really talk to the root of the emotion. Like, I think there's so many people out there who, you know, you ring whoever is your support, your parents, your friends, whoever. And it's like, it does become all about judgment and all about, well, they did that to you and they should, that's not right. And we just get so protective of the ones we love that it's so easy to go into that judgment and that victim blaming kind of mode. How powerful that they can go, yeah, that's the story and I'm hearing you on that, but what is the emotion and how can we talk to that and what that's bringing up in you in order to clear this and in order to help you notice like why this is so triggering for you and what's going on in this situation.
So beautiful. It's so beautiful, and that's what he embodies with me as well. Like if I'm venting about something that's happened, he'll be like, okay, I can sense that there's a lot of judgment at that person, you know, why is that there? And that's really sexy and confronting.
Definitely. We'll get to the confronting. And I feel like this is almost the difference between your last relationship and this relationship, is that he would just kind of get, your last relationship would get to a point where it was like, oh, I don't understand you. You're too much. You're too this, you're too that. And it would go into that judgment space of like, you know, this is too hard. I don't like conflict. I'm just going to try and avoid it however I can protect myself to do that. And your current relationship is the space where it's like, no, let's go deeper. Let's find the root of this and go further into it, because that's the only way we know we'll be able to heal it and it won't keep coming up in those cycles over and over again.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, I think, I mean, my previous partner was definitely devoted to some extent to understanding himself, but there was just so much there that it was a lot to look at or to acknowledge. And I think that, yeah, there's just, you know, when like when wounds are so buried,
yeah,
it's just like they're almost like disassociating from them a lot because it's safer. Like I don't want to go all the way into all of that. Whereas Josh kind of wants to go all the way down, and it's like he cries a lot, which is also amazing. Like he'll, when he like goes into his emotional process and finds out what's beneath it, it almost always ends with him in tears. And like, and he'll be crying on the phone and his brothers will be like, you're doing such a good job. You're doing amazing. And like, that's so beautiful. Like, you know, when does that ever really happen in brotherhood? You know, I mean, hopefully that's the direction we're moving. But like, I mean, I worked at my dad's work for a period of time, which is all men. And like, you know, even the men I was with in high school, it's kind of like, oh, chin up, dude. It'll be all right. Like that. And that's okay. Like, I feel like men have had to endure so much. Like they have the history of the war in their bones and having to be really strong for their family and be in that provider role. And that conditioning runs so deep. But Josh and his friends are really devoted to feeling, and not in a way, like I think that there can be this ideology that means they're demasculated.
Yeah.
Not at all. Like, in fact, it makes him he's more able to be in that like full strength warrior protective energy, that stable pillar, when he's acknowledging everything that is potentially swaying him from his center.
Yeah.
So it's really powerful work.
Yeah, hats off to that. We need more men like that out in the world, definitely.
Totally.
And I just wanted to quickly go back to, again, sorry, your last relationship for a second, and then we'll move fully into your other one. I feel like that when I see navigating conflict and I look at how to navigate conflict, I feel like there's different levels of where people can sit in that spectrum of navigating conflict. And the first level I see it, or even the second level I see it, is the triggers that are going to come up inevitably, the wounds that are going to come to the surface. How comfortable are we at digging into those and going past those? Because that's where I see people get stuck in navigating conflict. They get so caught up in, you know, what's going on and the victim cycle and like, this feels like my past, and kind of getting in that place of, I'm going to escalate because it's safer to do that than it is to actually go deeper into what I'm feeling right now, because it is so heavy and so hard. And then once we can get past that triggering element of it, I feel like that's when we can really sit with the core wounding, and that's when we can kind of offer that support. So your last relationship, I see that you've learned how to kind of tackle this with a bit more gentleness and a bit more softness, and like coming to discuss something that might be an issue with your partner with that little less fire in you, so that it could actually be received and you could actually have that conversation. Then I see like your current relationship as like you've gotten past that now, and you're able to go away and process when the triggers do come up, because we're human, it's going to happen. But you can come back and you can really soothe each other and work with that conflict to bring the intimacy that you were looking for.
Yeah, totally. I think also the difference is there's been enough time from that really challenging relationship where I've been able to heal from those patterns, and
yeah,
that relationship, the wounded relationship, I was left feeling rejected a lot, because we would have plans and he would constantly like ditch me, I guess, to hang friends or to do other things, and I'd be sitting there with dinner waiting and he just wouldn't come. And that was consistent, like it would happen multiple times a week, and I developed this like rejection wound. And what would happen is the more that I lent in and gave that person love, he would get really comfortable and receive it all and love it, and then but he'd also kind of pull away and be like, okay, I've got her, I'm safe. And then more like hungry for his connection with his friends.
Yeah.
And then when I'd pull away, he'd be back on my doorstep being like, why, you know, and then like begging me and with flowers. And so I developed this habit of pulling away to get love and putting armor over my heart to get love and withdrawing affection to get love.
Yeah.
It's very much about like, it became so habitual that even when nothing was wrong, I would just remember that I didn't feel loved by him. So I'd find something to get angry about, and I would sulk, like really sulk. Even when we're on holidays, I'd just be like, nah, and like withdraw affection. I was super young, you know, like I was 22 or something.
Yeah.
But every time I sulked and pulled away, he was there. So I developed this habit of like going cold, turning my phone off, not answering any calls, not really answering when they ask what's wrong, like saying nothing, until eventually they get it out at me. And then I would just word vomit all of this resentment and pain and rejection onto them, and not know how to take responsibility for what I was feeling. It was never like, I feel rejected. It was just like, you've done this. So that was the habit. And the relationship after that, even though it was healing, I still had those wounds.
Yeah.
And he unfortunately had to bear the brunt of them a lot. And he would say like, this isn't me, this is because of your previous partner. Like, can't you see that? You know, which can feel a little bit like weaponizing. And it's something that I love that Josh doesn't do. Like, he doesn't weaponize. He knows when I'm projecting past wounds onto him, but he doesn't say it, because or if he does, he might eventually be like, do you think it could be linked to this? But he doesn't do it to bypass responsibility, because at the end of the day, he knows that that's what's making my reaction bigger and more exaggerated. But that's not why I'm hurt. Like, I'm hurt because he did something, and it's just being exacerbated because of that core wound. And the previous partner would use those previous wounds that I had against me to avoid responsibility and be like, I didn't do anything wrong, this is all that previous relationship stuff, instead of saying, actually both. And so I also, in that relationship, I could embody softness, but I rarely could embody affection. I never took responsibility. I didn't even know what that was truly until I met Josh. And one of the first arguments we had, I can't even remember what it was over, but I remember the end result was him being like, I don't feel fulfilled in how you navigated this conflict. And I'm like, what? Thinking like my conscious communication and pointing out all the things that he did wrong was amazing. And it was gentle and I was still loving, but he's like, yeah, you've pointed out everything. And I'm taking that on. I really am. Like, I can see that I did this and this and this, but you haven't looked at yourself at all.
Yeah.
And what you did. And I'm like, what do you mean? I did nothing. And he's like, is that what you think? Like, you don't think you contributed anything to this? You don't believe that it takes two people to create a conflict? And I was like, what? And that was the first time that I actually looked at myself and realized that he wasn't going to be fulfilled until I took responsibility. And I had to start to look at myself. And then I felt a lot of compassion for my previous partner because I was like, yeah, he was really defensive, but I mean, so was I in my own rightful way. And I think that it's how I navigate conflict with Josh is completely different, but also Josh brings it out in me because there's safety.
Yeah.
And I think that I couldn't reach that point in my previous relationship because there was never full safety too. Whereas Josh, it's like he mirrors all my wounds to me and then holds me in his arms while he's doing it.
Yeah.
There's not that judgment of like, you're being too dramatic, too sensitive. I can't handle you. You're all over the place. Like, have you got your period? Which is like another thing that I used to receive. And there's that weaponizing of like, I don't want to take responsibility. So I'm going to blame your period and your previous partner, all these things onto your emotional process. So I don't have to look at myself at all because I don't want to look at my own guilt or the shame up when we admit that we're capable of hurting someone we love. Josh will be like, okay, I acknowledge that I just hurt you, and I acknowledge that there's shame here now as well. And it's just so much easier. Like he's like really listening and understanding. And so I was able to reach that space of self-responsibility, and I was also able to reach a space of like looking at these patterns of power play that I developed during affection, sulking, going quiet. And he would always say, like, if we were having a conflict at the beginning, I'd start to like do this and like turn away.
Yeah.
He'd be like, where are you going, babe? I'm losing you. Come back. Where are you going? And like hold my hand. And I'd be like, why is he holding my hand?
Yeah.
And then sometimes I would do that for him, you know, like he reminded me of one of the first conflicts we had where we were really at each other. And then I was like, he thought I was going to leave and drive away. And I just went and started hugging him. Like, you weren't hugging me to be held. You were hugging me to hold me and to like reconcile. And so because I could see those gentle traits in him and there was safety, I was like, I can break this pattern of like withdrawing affection and go hold his hand. And that was a pattern that we developed very early on where we're like, okay, when we're angry at each other, let's try and not withdraw affection. And now it's so much easier. Like at the beginning, it took every inch of me to lean out and reach his hand. I'd literally be like, oh, like reach out and grab his hand and be like, I hate this. I hate this. I hate this. Like, I just want to run. I don't feel like I'm in power. I want the upper hand. Like all of the stories around how to get the upper hand back. And now it's become, I'm really glad we created that habit because now I'm finding it a lot easier where I'm like, I'll get those voices. Even the other night, I'd be like, he did all of these things and I'm going to go to bed and I'm not going to hug him. And I'd notice we weren't hugging. And then I'd be like, okay, I roll over and hug him. And he'd instantly grab my hand and hug me. And there's like instant resolve.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I like to take responsibility as well and have compassion for that previous partner in the knowing that like he did bear the brunt of the previous wounds more so than Josh did. But in essence, I guess that's what we were speaking about before we started recording in conscious relating is often people can be like, you're in this conscious relationship. You know, yeah, it must be easy now.
But
they're still holding up the mirror and showing you everything that's unresolved in you. And all of those wounds from that really challenging partnership and the wounds from now the partnership before Josh.
Yeah.
Are all there. I don't have many wounds from my first relationship. Like that was my high school sweetheart, but the two after that, there's heaps. And
yeah.
Josh triggers all of it in a way that I'm able to look at myself more because there's more safety. And I think the way of knowing when our wounds are being triggered, whether it's wounds that were created in high school, wounds created with previous partners, wounds created with, you know, childhood and with our parents, is that our nervous system responds disproportionately to what's actually happening.
Yeah.
Like an example of that is me and Josh were at a family thing and he wanted to go because we were late to his friend's party that we were going to after it. And so we left and there was a sense of like rushing and urgency. As if I just want to go, like we're going to see the friends and blah, 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 blah. And I just felt all of this disgust and all of this like resentment. Mm. And I was like, you're rushing me. And like, you're so obsessed with your friends. And I was with my family and blah, 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 blah. And he was like, okay, but like, why? He's like, yeah, I am. And during that period, there was attachment to his friends and he could acknowledge that. And he's like, okay, yeah, I acknowledge that there's attachment to my friends, but also why are you so angry about it?
Mm.
Like, what do you mean you like rushed me? He's like, I know I rushed you and that's annoying, but you're really angry. Like you're really mad. And I was like, why am I really mad? And then I realized, oh, it's the previous partner that like rejected me and always wanted to be with his friends.
Yeah.
And he's always in a rush to go see his friends. Like, you know, and it was that being embodied again. And then I could be like, okay, my nervous system is responding like it's life or death right now. He's allowed to be excited to see his friends. There's nothing inherently wrong with that. Like, why do I feel like I hate him because of that? Oh, it's because, you know, there's wounds there. And like, he could still apologize. I'm sorry for rushing you. I acknowledge there's attachment to friends and I'm going to look at that.
Mm.
But also, why are you so mad about it? Yeah, but then I can respond. I can realize what's beneath that for me.
And yeah. I think that's so important. I love how you had your first fight and he was just like, this is not satisfying. Like I need to up level this almost to get it to a point where we can go deeper. And you just were so willing to go there with him, which I think is really honorable. And of course, in your past relationships that worked for you and that worked for your partner to kind of have that way of relating. And now coming into this new relationship, it's like, this is where we grow and this is where our partnerships can just be such a mirror to what we need to learn or how we can grow. Because this person knows you better than anyone else. So they can see those wounds. They can see them up close and personal. And I think that's where relationship can be so important for self-growth, because when you're on your own, you don't have anyone giving you that mirror. You might have conflicts coming up where you go and self-reflect about it, but it's when it's in a relationship, it's just so much more intimate. And I feel like they see a lot more of the wounds that no one else really sees sometimes. But I love that piece about the holding space for someone else going through their wounding and being able to sit with that and just provide that healing space. And I think that's the most important part of conflict, is if we can get past all the triggers and the wounds, we can hold a safe space for someone to really heal what's gone on for them in their past relationships, in whatever else. And that is the ultimate goal, is to just be growing and healing together, both partners together, and to be holding that loving, safe, connected space, even when you don't want to do the connecting, even then when you do want the upper hand. I'm totally hearing you on all that. That scary thing of like, I'm just going to reach out and, you know, hold their hand or hug them in this situation, to remind them that it's safe to be having these conversations and it's safe to be going deep. And, you know, it's not going to end up the way it did with all those other people who couldn't hold you in that safety and who couldn't resolve that with you. Yeah.
Yeah, totally. And I think like, it's okay if your partner doesn't want to do that. Like, a lot of people say, what if your partner doesn't want to do that? It's like, well, that's only really up to you to decide. Like,
yeah,
my line of work and the line of work I do with Eclectica, it involves deep work and holding women through their emotional body. And so I need to be like walking the talk, you know,
like
I be embodying what I'm fucking preaching. I need to be devoted to my own healing. And so I need a partner that's devoted as well. And so we can rise together. And I think that for me, it's a make or break because of that. But for other people, like, I'm like, if, you know, does it interest you to get to the core wound? Is that like, not really. Like, we navigate our conflict in our own way. We just don't go all the way down. It's like, if that works for you, like, only you can answer that. Like,
yeah,
not everyone wants to go into the deep end, and that's okay. But I think that it also depends on the degree of the wounding and how integrated it is, or how, you know, your partner's able to work with it in the relationship. Because if it's manifesting in really intense ways that could be abusive, or, you know, it could be coming out in super unintegrated ways where there's like power play or games or whatever, again, like, only you can decide if that's enough for you, and if you're willing to like live in that dynamic any longer. And I think that an important part of me being willing to do all this work with Josh, when he points it out, is because he has followed through with his boundaries.
Yeah.
And I think that that's what a lot of partners are lacking. It's like, they think they have these boundaries because they state them, but then there's no follow through. So it's like, example, I don't like when you speak to me like that. The partner keeps speaking to you like that. Nothing changes. You don't do anything about it. You say it again. You're crossing my boundaries. I've told you. I don't like when you speak to me like that. They keep speaking to you like that. There's no follow through. There's no follow through. It's like, boundaries mean nothing. They become so permeable when there's no follow through. And equally, like, if they're super rigid, then often it's like, if you have really rigid boundaries, it's like, it becomes emotional armor, and you're not letting anyone get in close enough to hurt you. It's like, you cross my boundaries, you're out, gone, leave, we're done. As opposed to like having these boundaries that have follow through, that are flexible where needed, because, you know, like, that's, there's an opportunity to grow there and learn about each other's edges and comfort zones, and how we like to be loved. I think we teach partners how we like to be loved. But Josh, I could feel, had the follow through. It's not something that he ever said. It's a sense. And I think that's the amazing thing about boundary work. Or for me, I like to work with my spine, my backbone, and do like a lot of embodiment with my spine, is people can feel when you have a backbone. When I speak to Josh about some of the things that happened in previous relationships, he's like, I would never try that with you. Like, I know that if I tried that with you, you'd be out. Like, you wouldn't put up with that. And it's like, well, I've developed a backbone over the years, you know, because I've had my heart broken, and I've stitched it back together, and I've come back more me than ever. So I'm not afraid to have my heart broken. I'm not. Like, I know that I can, it would kill me to lose Josh, but overall, I know I've got myself. I know that I choose myself, and I know that I'll heal. And I deeply trust in life. Like, I trust that whoever's meant for me won't pass me. Whoever passes me was never meant for me. Yeah. Josh feels like he's meant for me. He really does, like, all the way down. But if in some insane timeline it finishes, like, I would honestly trust that he knows what's best for him, and I'd let him go. And also, I would know that it's not empowering for me to stay with someone who doesn't want to be with me.
Yeah.
I want to feel I deserve to feel chosen. I don't, I'm never going to convince someone to be somewhere that they don't want to be. So that helps me. And those three breakdowns helped me so much, because I got through them and used them as medicine. And that's where grief becomes medicine. And I would never take back them for anything in the world. And I know that I could do it again. And it probably hurt more than any of the others, because I mean, I'm only looking at it from where we are now. Like, I'm guessing if me and Josh ever did end, it would be because we both felt like it was the right thing to do. It's hard to imagine that now, because we're so strong that it would just feel so wrong. But I'm sure that, like, I know that I would trust, and I know that we would both trust, and I know that we would return with like a lot of respect for one another, for the lessons that we've given each other, and the ways that we've grown, and the 5 years that we've spent together, or six since we met, but 5 years of being in a romantic relationship, of just growing and creating the most like safe, beautiful love that I've ever known.
Yeah. Oh, that's so beautiful. Thank you for sharing that with us. That's the whole essence of this podcast, is like, how do we take the heartbreak and the trauma and the stuff that's gone on and turn it into that medicine and grow as people and become someone with that backbone who doesn't stand for whatever they don't want to stand for anymore, and call in, because we're standing so strong on our own, that that relationship that reflects that back to us, someone who respects that and has those boundaries. If someone was listening to this going, oh, I don't think I have that backbone, I don't think I've formulated that yet, do you have any advice or tips on like where to start with that?
Yeah, well, I was going to share that I'm actually like right now as we're talking, I'm drinking rose tea, and working with rose is amazing. I'm really passionate about working with plants, but rose, she's soft yet stern. And if you think about the anatomy of the rose, she has this strong stalk resembling her backbone and these thorns resembling her boundaries, yet these unfurling beautiful petals that are so soft and gracious and loving. And so working with Rose and receiving her medicine and her personality traits, I'm constantly, my mantra is to be the Rose. So to be stern yet soft. And so I feel like working with Rose is really amazing for developing a backbone. For me, actually doing embodiment work with my spine and starting to inhabit my spine and feel into like what kind of body positions you can get yourself into where you're speaking from your spine and your base. And a lot of the time, if we've experienced trauma, we live in fight or flight.
Yeah.
And so we've learned that it's not safe to fully inhabit the body. Like, how can we fully inhabit a body that we're rejecting?
Yeah.
How can we inhabit a body we don't feel safe in? So I guess my advice is going to be different based on who I was speaking to. Like, if you're someone that has a lot of trauma or you live in fight or flight, I'd really recommend sorting out therapy or a therapist that has some understanding of the somatics of the body and that can slowly integrate your spirit back into the cells of the body. And then doing a lot of grounding exercises where you start speaking from like down here rather than from up here. Mm. And what will happen is your voice will change. Like when I didn't fully back myself, my voice was like, oh yeah, like blah, 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 blah. And now I'm like, no, I'm not having that. And it's like my voice has deepened because my whole truth has deepened and it's dropped into the cells of the body. And then I think also, I mean, there's so many ways, but I think that one thing that really stops people from inhabiting the spine is fear of conflict.
Yeah.
And so I would really, really start to reconcile with your relationship with yourself. And first and foremost, know that you're okay being on your own. Because if you know that you've got yourself and all your parts that are afraid of conflict, which are most of the time afraid of rejection, afraid of abandonment, as long as those parts know that you're not going to abandon them and that you love them no matter what, and you can be like, I know this is scary, we might lose this person, they might not like us speaking from our spine or sticking up for ourselves, but I love you no matter what, no matter if they meet us or if they don't meet us. And always the right people meet you. Like the people that you lose in the process of inhabiting the spine and embodying your boundaries are the people that can't fully respect your needs. And they can't meet you in how you like to be loved and how you like to be treated. And that hurts to lose people like that. But in essence, like you deserve people that respect you and that respect your truth and your feelings and know how to meet you in that. And of course, you need to embody that for them as well through meeting them when they share their truth. But every time I've done, like spoken from my spine, I've either lost people or I've created closer bonds. And the people that I've lost, I don't really think about anymore because I'm like, this is the standard now. This is the standard. And I'll meet you in this too. Like I'm fully willing to acknowledge my shit. I'm fully ready to apologize. I always look at myself and be like, okay, how did I contribute because of Josh and all the lessons I've learned? And I'm fully ready to take responsibility for my end. But if you can't meet me in that, then you're not my person. And yeah, the bonds in my relationship with Josh are like so deep, but also my sisters, my friends, like when I voiced to them, hey, that really hurt when you did this and actually didn't feel good to receive that. You know, my sisters in my life now, every single one of them are like, whoa, I'm so sorry. And they're able to really look at why it's there and sometimes come up with things like wounds that people don't even usually acknowledge. Like, oh, there's a part of me that's jealous. Like how freeing to have that conversation with your sisters. Like there's a part of me that's jealous of you, or yeah, I felt really rejected because of this, or acknowledge that I don't trust you because of previous times where you've done things that weren't good for you. And that distrust is still there, even though I know you're different now. Like knowing what we're feeling and being able to acknowledge it is amazing. And it's created, yeah, the deepest bonds with my friends and a lot of safety where I feel like we can come, and in my relationship where we can come to each other with anything and be met and grow.
Yeah, I love that so much. It's almost like conflict can be really scary for people because you can lose people, but on the flip side of losing people is just that incredible intimacy of being able to speak your truth and have that heard and respected and, you know, build something stronger. If a boundary's been broken, how can we repair that? Or how can we do that better next time? And we just can't have those conversations when we're too in fear of conflict, because we're never speaking up for ourselves. And that means we're never also getting to that actual intimacy of a connection as well, because it's on a different level. It's on a more surface level.
Yeah, totally. Yeah, that's where conflict can become medicine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's just got such a bad rap, conflict. Everyone just thinks conflict, run. But it's like there's so much to it on the other side of getting past that runaway fear response. Yeah. That
life would be so fucking boring if we didn't have conflict. Like you wouldn't have any emotional depth.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I see that in especially the baby boomers. Oh, wait, are we the baby boomers? No, the baby boomers are. Am I saying that wrong? Is like a lot of the time it's speaking about one another rather than to one another. And it's like, why don't you just tell her? Why don't you just all you ladies sit down and have a conversation? It's like, no, 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 no. And it's like, you know, they have depth in their own way, but it's like you don't know the deepest, darkest corners of each other because you don't acknowledge that it's there.
Yeah.
And so much medicine. And I think that with the absence of conflict, we wouldn't feel the depths that we feel. And also in regards to relationships, there'd be no eros.
Yeah.
Like, we need conflict for erotic friction. Like to date someone who's a full pushover or who just thinks that you're perfect, like there's no way of being challenged and uprooted. And like you need that friction so you can create erotic tension in a healthy way. Like,
yeah,
not in a really like abusive dynamic. I always say we're not trying to fight for the absence of conflict. It's the way we approach conflict.
Yes.
I want conflict. Give me the conflict. Show me my shit. Trigger me, challenge me, uproot me. Let's grow together. But it's the way we meet each other in conflict that's everything. And if we can both be willing to take responsibility for what's ours, soften and return to love.
Yeah.
As opposed to hating each other, resenting each other, playing games with one another. Like that's when conflict becomes an issue in relationships, is if the same issue is circulating again and again and again, and you just can't meet each other and you don't feel like there's been any resolve. Like at some point you need to make a decision. Can I keep living this way if you've tried everything that you have?
There's so much healing and growth here. And that we're just not seeing because we're not meeting each other where we need to be met. And I think, 100%, it's how you manage conflict. It's how you deal with conflict that is how much healing it can offer you.
So, like everything we've chatted about today, people can have insight into like some ideas of navigating conflict in a healthy way.
Mm.
Yeah.
And maybe like taking that first step to tell their partner how they're really feeling, or, you know, putting it all out on the table, or holding their hand when, you know, things are going not that great. Yeah, there's been heaps of really great practical tips in here as well, which I've really appreciated. Is there anything else you'd love to share with us, Demi, while we've got you here?
I guess the only thing I'd love to share is that me and my partner are actually, so me and Josh, so Josh does very similar work that I do. So I do work with women through Eclectica, where we're doing a lot of emotional excavation, and we're really like returning to the truth of who we are beyond the armor, the dogma, the shame. And Josh does a lot of that emotional work with men as well. And so we've both been in our separate fields for 5 to 10 years. And so we've learned a lot through, you know, navigating our own facilitation journeys and holding space for men and women. But also we've learned so much through the soil that is our relationship. And so this offering we've created is called The Soil. And we're utilizing, he's utilizing all of his medicine that he's and wisdom he's cultivated through years of working with men, and for me with women, and we've merged it together. And no, it's not just for heterosexual relationships, it's for anyone, like it, literally anyone, it's universal. We've learned so much along the way, and we've kind of bridged our two worlds together and created this offering, which is we're doing an 8-episode podcast series on relationships. We've also got like a 1-day workshop that we're about to release in Warrandyte in Naarm, Melbourne, where you can come with your partner and really do a lot of this work that we're speaking about. And then we've also in March, we're going to be releasing, well, before March, but it's commencing in March, is an 8-week journey, which will be likely held in our yurt. We have a yurt in Warrandyte for couples to come and, you know, deepen together in love. And some of the modules we'll be getting the partners to explore with one another is like understanding core wounds and how they contribute to the partnership, understanding like our relationship with our mother and our father and the way we were taught to be loved, the nervous system, working with anger, boundaries, emotional excavation, meeting each other in conflict, love languages, eros, sex, understanding each other's anatomy, understanding each other's erotic blueprints, how to keep like desire and passion and adventure alive, and like so much more as well. So yeah, thought that it would be fitting for me to finish with that, because it's really exciting. We're just like starting off doing this thing together, and it's been amazing to offer this together and to be, yeah, working, like discovering this new realm that we can traverse through together. Like,
yeah,
business, you know?
That sounds incredible. What an amazing offering you've put together, using both your skill sets to just really mold them as one, and being able to offer that in couples work is just so needed at the moment. There's so many people out there screaming for that kind of support.
So I was going to say singles can come too as well.
Oh, great.
Yeah.
And yeah, I can vouch. I've been in one of Demi's containers in Eclectica this year, and it was phenomenal. You're an incredible facilitator. And yeah, I can't wait to see what else you put out into the world.
Oh, thank you so much. That
no
means
worries.
A lot. Thank you so much for having me as well. It's been so beautiful to speak to you and get a window into your podcast and your world. And yeah, thank you for sharing your medicine, because it's deeply needed, and planting the seeds of wisdom to everyone that's listening to you.
Oh, and thank you too. You've been a wonderful guest, and it's been incredible to hear your journey through relationships and where you are now and how beautiful it is with you and Josh. So thank you so much. And yeah, everyone listening, wish you all the best with your journeys with relationships as well.
Yeah, keep on loving.